Way to go, Abigail. What an awesome week. I'm going to tell you what, that is an incredible week. Way to go. Great job. Great job to all of you guys that made it on the leaderboard. And I'm sure we'll be posting monthly numbers very, very soon as you guys continue to kill it in the world of pandemic, in the world of COVID-19. Your leadership is absolutely amazing. I put a post out yesterday, and I don't necessarily like putting. I want to keep you guys updated as best I can on what I'm hearing from Barry and Rob and Bill, and one of the things at Cornerstone Financial Group, I don't think it's a secret that we love GPM. I think GPM is amazing. Like, I love them. What I actually love about GPM is I think the UL product at GPM is, especially when you're in a competitive situation, and it always seems like we're in competitive situations, right? I mean, we are in the lead-driven sales business, right? And so what we know is that most of the people that fill out our lead also fill out all 4011 leads they get, right? Or letters they get. And so the UL product, it's just really, really cool. But, guys, we are in the simplified issue business. That is the heart of who we are. Do I hope GPM considers coming out with a simplified issue? Maybe even like the equity protector, maybe an equity protector UL that is only for Equus Financial. Yes, I do hope that. But right now, the UL product, it's the Alliance UL, and it's a great product, but it is not simplified issue. And like I was talking to Craig Walker yesterday. Craig submitted two ULs last week. They were immediately issued, and he was paid on them. But my reply back to Craig is they must have been young, and they must have been held. Oh, no, actually, my reply to Craig was it must have been clean apps, clean applications. And Craig responded back with, yes, they were both in their early 30s and both perfectly healthy. I'm just telling you guys, right now, GPM is overwhelmed with trying to move these universal life products through. I'm not saying that you have to stop writing them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if your main objective is to manage your cash flow, right now it might be far better for you to write a simplified issue with Foresters. Yeah, but John, isn't Foresters going to be a few dollars more expensive? Yes, because it's a simplified issue. Doesn't mean you can't go back in 11, 12 months and write a GPM UL on them, okay? That doesn't mean that at all. But what I'm saying is pay attention to the products that you're writing. Right now, it's not a secret. Right now, Foresters is issuing like crazy. Americo is issuing maybe even better than Foresters. So if you want to look at two companies that are more than likely, unless you're submitting crap, which we don't do on this team. By the way, guys, there's no excuse for submitting subpar business. There's no excuse. I realize that we went through some growing pains somewhat with our P&P with the virtual sales. But as most of you guys are now, sick of virtual sales, and you're right now getting back into the homes, which, thank goodness, I just want you to be mindful of your placement persistency. That's a very real number. And yet, Equus has a very high standard, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, you let your placement persistency get down too low, and I'm going to tell you what, you start developing a reputation at these insurance carriers as in, oh, yeah, we've heard of him or we've heard of her. They don't write good business. Guys, insurance carriers, they don't like to decline applications. And so if you're sending crap to the insurance carrier, stop it. you're hurting yourself, but more importantly, for the sake of this call, you're hurting Cornerstone. Don't do that. We've got a whole group me that is run by elite producers and above. It's called In-Home Concierge. And if you're in a situation where you have a question about medications, you have a question about look-back periods on cancer, heart issues, or if you do understand what a Table 4 product is and a Table 6 product, and you understand that if your client has X amount of things wrong with them, like if they're been diagnosed with depression and they're on three or more medications, or they've been diagnosed with high blood pressure and they're on three or more medications. Well, Forrester's doesn't have a problem with high blood pressure. Okay, but do you understand what a Table 4 product is? And when you take high blood pressure and you combine that with three applications, or you take high blood pressure and two medications and combine that with another issue and a couple other medications. In other words, I want you to start understanding, and maybe we'll have a phone call, maybe we'll bring Bill Martin or John Barlow on, but you guys have to start understanding the business that you're in. Understand the responsibility that you have to these A-rated insurance carriers, and ultimately understand how do they create products? How do they price products to sell them to be profitable? Well, I hope that makes sense. Ollie, Jamie, if y'all want to clean that up a little bit, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and we can't have people that submit crap to insurance carriers. Okay. That's not the name of the game here. Okay. Okay. The world's starting to turn again. I don't know if you are seeing that in the communities that you live in. The world's starting to turn again. Kudos to the Jamie Trent organization. I think Jamie Trent is moving toward having their first post COVID-19 pandemic training. I think he's looking at having that next week or week after. Good job, Jamie Trent, for kind of getting that back moving. Guys, we are a business of training. We are a business of influence. We are a business of activity. And activity happens based on training, based on thought process, based on your confidence in your competence. Competency builds confidence, and confidence builds like and trust in the home. And people that can build like and trust in the home, they make a lot of money in our business, a lot of money. Okay, I love you. I'm so proud of you guys. I've probably had more phone time with Barry Clarkson the last week that I've had with him. Actually, I will tell you this. This past week, I've had more phone time with Barry than probably since mid to late February. And I will tell you, more than one time it's come up in my phone conversations with Barry, the leadership that we have in this team. You guys are amazing. What you guys have done, and I will tell you, numbers have taken on even a greater importance at Equus Financial the last couple of months, actually the last 6 months. But I will tell you, the COVID-19 pandemic numbers, I will just tell you, there are people in our industry that look at Equus Financial and what Equus has been able to maintain and grow during the pandemic. And I'm just going to tell you what, you guys, Cornerstone Financial Group, you guys are a standout at Equus Financial as it relates to that. Don't know if you know that or not. Don't know if you even care. But I will tell you that there have been sound bites that I wish I could capture off of my phone calls with Barry and play for you. Because the leadership of a Mike Hall, the leadership of an Ollie Collins, the leadership of a Daniel McRae, the leadership of a Claudia Matthew, the leadership of brand new regional manager Jamie Trent, the leadership that you district managers are bringing to the table, and you know who you are, sales managers, and ultimately the leadership in our field underwriters. You guys, and I want to especially thank again Claudia and Andrew for taking and implementing that Friday call, especially when we were transitioning to virtual sales. The leadership amongst our field underwriters, it's second to none. It's second to none. So yes, there's leadership influence on the builder side. There's leadership influence on the sales, on the field underwriter side. And I'm just going to tell you, I have never been as proud to be a part of Cornerstone Financial Group as I am right now today, to see how you guys have navigated the previous couple of months. And again, I think, you know, it goes back maybe first middle of March as our world started changing. But here we are now, 1st of May. And again, the world's starting to turn again, and you're able to start looking at getting back to business as usual, or at least hopefully you guys are in geographical areas that will allow that. Okay, I am going to turn the rest of the call over to Ollie, and Ollie is going to be handling our feature speaker today, our brand new regional manager. I'm actually driving into Charlotte, North Carolina. And so it's probably a good thing. I'd probably be a crying baby trying to introduce Jamie, but I'm just going to tell you guys, and I'm going to do this without getting emotional, but I am so proud of Jamie Trent. Jamie Trent is one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. And I've learned so much from his leadership. But Jamie Trent, prior to him being an incredible leader at Equus Financial from an agency building standpoint, Jamie Trent was one absolute incredible leader as a field underwriter. He wrote good business. He maintained great placement and persistency. And I'm going to tell you what, from about week one, that sucker was a great example of the profitability at Equus Financial. The report card at Equus Financial has always been the profitability of its agents. And I'm going to tell you what, Jamie Trent was a great example of that. So, Mr. Ollie Collins, I'm going to turn the call over to you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Hey, buddy, travel safe. And thanks for all you do, you and Kim. Man, you guys share so much with us.
Hey, Ollie, are you on mute?
No, sir, I am not on mute. Tammy, if you could give me a quick text to make sure you can hear me. Okay, I hear you. So we're good, John. And thank you again, John and Kim, for everything you guys do, and travel safe. You know, my buddy, Jamie Trent, I tell you, you know, I heard so much about Jamie even before I met him. I came on board Equus a few months after Jamie did, and John and Kim just used to talk all the time about, you know, Jamie was quiet, and he just was doing his work and at the top of the leaderboard, and the epitome of a profitable agent out in the field, and a great, you know, a great example. And then somewhere along the lines, it really kicked in, and he had made a decision to start to build. So. Jamie, what I'd like you to do, are you there with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Ollie.
Hey, buddy. First of all, congratulations on all your success and on going district manager, regional manager. If you could kind of take us back as far back as you want to and give everybody a little bit of background on, you know, what life was like before Equus, how you found Equus. And then we'll jump in and talk a little bit about your journey right out of the gate as a field underwriter. And then, you know, what kind of helped you to make that switch and decide that, you know what, I can use this vehicle to help and impact more people than just the clients I touch, but, you know, hiring agents too and building the team. So if you could kind of take us back and share a little bit of your journey with us, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Ollie. And before I get going with all that, I got to give every bit of the praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, because that's where it all comes from. And I tell you now, I would not be where I am if it wasn't for the love of him and what he did for us. And I give him all the praise and honor and glory for it all. So,
amen.
I've been in the industry now 24 years as of a couple months ago, and I was 21 years into this when I found Equus. And it's really kind of I always thought it's an interesting story how I got involved with Equus. Was I was with another company, and I had kind of just been getting tired, and I was considering changing careers. And I was driving down the road one day, and Jesus said to me, "My son, this is your calling." And I just kind of driving down the road, and I hear this voice, and that's what he said to me. And so I said, all right, well, I mean, if this is what I'm going to do, then I'm going to do. So I just kind of kept doing it. Then I was working at a company, Ollie, and I don't know if you've ever worked in an insurance company where instead of giving you more when you earn more, they actually cut your pay. I never experienced that before. But I was at a company where they were decreasing monthly commissions, and then they were going to try to make it up in the back end on a bonus. And anyways, so I had this dream that I was on this white boat, and this boat was really big and bulky. And Ollie, no matter how hard I steered it or revved the engine or no matter what I was doing going up and down the decks, I could not get this boat to work. So I beached it. And in my dream, I jumped off the boat and I started walking around the point of the tidal pool, like along the edge of the shore, where to the left of me is the weeds, the right is the ocean. But to the right of me is Jesus, and we're walking along the beach. And we get around this little tidal pool, and I pick up a rod, and I cast it in the pool, and I reel it in and catch fish. And Jesus says, puts his right hand on my right shoulder, and he says, "My son, if you cast your net, you'll catch more fish." And I remember waking up from that dream, and I have a friend who's a Christian counselor, and I will text, I still do this day, text him dreams that I have. So I was texting it to him, and I was like, man, this is one of those ones that's life-changing. So I told my wife about it after that. And this was like 8:30 in the morning on a Tuesday. And then at about noon that day, I get this phone call from John Kite. And so we start talking about Equus. And, you know, he's like, well, based on the experience you have, I think Equus would be a good fit. And I said, the conversation we had, I said, well, I believe in Jesus. If I can't talk about Jesus, then I can't be a part of an organization that I can't be vocal about it. And that's when we developed the relationship. That's where our relationship really started, because he's a believer and I'm a believer. And we started talking about that. And he says, Jamie, with your experience, if you cast your net over to state of South Carolina, imagine what you catch. And I still get chills down my spine right now telling the story of 3.5 years later. And I'm like, John, man, you have no idea what you just said. I said, I'm old. Because, I mean, I'm not that smart, Ollie. But sometimes a 2x4, I can tell if I get hit by one, right? So I just like, yeah, I'm in. So he said, you need to come next week to our conference. So anyways, I went to the conference and some other things happened. But anyways, that's how I got aboard at Equus. And so to me, and I always say in my opinion, it was divinely orchestrated that I came to Equus, which I think is one of the reasons why I'm so gung-ho with trying to help other agents and bring people on to help them. So, you know, you kind of in all that, yes, like how do I get started? So I would like everybody to understand that in my first month, I submitted $55,000 worth of business. Now, that's a pretty good month, right?
Jamie, say that again.
Yeah, so in my first month, I submitted $55,000 worth of business. Now, it sounds really good, right? That sounds like, wow. Okay, I got paid $8. Now, $8's a good paycheck. I'm not arguing with $8. My point is, I had to rewrite apps several times so that I, too, could learn the process at Equus. Because coming to Equus and doing things with Simplified Issue and not medical is a totally different than the scenario where I came from. So, you know, coming over to Equus, it didn't matter. I had 21 years experience at Equus. When I came to Equus, I knew the same as almost every other brand new agent, because so when I write an app, I still had to learn the same underwriting that everybody else. And nobody sat down and taught me that stuff, Ollie. You know, I didn't have an Andrew Pappas who formed an in-home concierge. I didn't have a Jamie Trent. I didn't have a Claudia Matthew at that moment because I had just come aboard. I had me, and I sat down and just had to learn it through trial and error. So I just need agents to know that it sounds great to have all that experience, but it don't do you no good when your placement's at 12%. I mean, it was crazy. John Kite's calling me up. He's like, man, is this for real? I'm like, I'm learning the process. He's like, I just got an email from John Barlow. I'm like, me too. But it all worked out because I had to learn. So anyway.
Well, I tell you, you know, just to back up a step, you know, how many of us wake up in the middle of the night and we have a dream and we say to ourselves, man, I'm gonna remember this when I wake up. I got to remember this dream, you know, to tell my significant other when we wake up. I want to tell him this dream, and we don't remember it. I mean, just over and over again, we fall back asleep and it's gone. And the fact that it stuck with you lets you know that it was more than just, you know, the typical nighttime dream that we have. I mean, there was a message there for you, and a message that you heeded and had your ears open for when you met John. And how many people, you know, say those prayers at night? How many people get those little urgings, you know, from God to move in a direction, and they don't take it. And I like what you said. You know, I don't need to necessarily get hit by a 2x4. Might not be the smartest guy in the world, but you know, you can read the signs when they're there, and you can act on them. And thank God you did. We're blessed to have you, and blessed that you did take those steps and act on those unctions that you had from above. So now you're in Equus, and you're fine tuning the underwriting. And you did it. You got it, and you place at a high level and one of the best underwriters, field underwriters of all of Equus. But for the longest time, you were just content being a personal producer, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's something to be celebrated to be able to go out and make a multiple six-figure income on your own pen, and you wrote at a very high level. What was your thought process early on, and then at what point did it change, Jamie?
So early on, all right, so, you know, I don't mind telling this part of the story because I want other agents out there to know that just because you come to Equus broke doesn't mean you can't change things. Because here's the deal, guys. I had to borrow $4,000 from my mother-in-law in order to make back house payments and to keep from losing my car, and have enough money to buy some BNC leads here at Equus when I came aboard. So, you know, my thought process in the beginning was pretty simple, man. I just need to run some business. I just needed to run some business. And Barry Clarkson and Bill Martin and Rob Jones and John Kite, they know more than me. Now, we don't always have to agree with every single thing across the board, because no, that's not a relationship. That's something different. Those guys right there lead us, and this is what they said: if you'll get you on some leads and you'll run your 15 appointments a week, you're probably going to cash flow $3,000 to $5,000 a week. I don't have to be very smart in order to hear what those guys were telling me. So I just did exactly what they said to do. You know, we have this training center on the website, and I love it when agents ask me, well, what do you need to do? And my answer is going to always be, you need 15 to 20 appointments a week. Well, I need to learn products. Now you need 15 or 20 appointments a week. If you don't have that, the product knowledge is irrelevant. But we have these training videos. So, Ollie, my thinking in the beginning was, Jamie, your whole life you thought you knew it all. I made a conscious choice coming aboard, Ollie, to pretend I didn't know anything about anything. I just sat down and watched the videos that are out there on the training centers, and I watched them all, and I watched some of them multiple times, and I did what they said to do, which is something counterintuitive to my own nature. My own nature is for me to tell people how to do it, not to listen to other people how to do it. And most alpha you know, alpha personalities who are in leadership roles tend to be like that, and that's okay. But my point is, there's a balance that I had to come to, and a part of it was, oh, I didn't know everything. Mm-hmm. I just need to do what these guys are telling me what to do. And if I put my faith in the Lord and put my faith in these guys who are successful, then my worst, a blind squirrel can find a nut. So my worst case scenario was I was going to make a grand or two a week. I really want to drill this point down is I did what they told me to do without arguing. And I did it over and over and over and over and over again until I got it right. And that's key to this industry.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Jamie, that's a huge credit to you, you know, and I think there's a measure of discernment that happens, you know, almost at a spiritual level. When you're in an environment that is comfortable and conducive to you following the right people, I mean, you just know that. I have heard so many people that are those type A personalities, have maybe had success in other areas, and many even in the insurance industry. But when they come here, Equus has a way of attracting the right people and repelling the wrong people. And the atmosphere that has been created, not just at Equus, but inside a Cornerstone, that gives people the comfort of saying, hey, listen, you know what? I can drop my guard and follow. I can drop my guard and follow a system and follow people who have shown to me and who just may give me that feeling that they've got the right intentions and my best interest at heart. And I mean, and kudos to you for following that. And again, I've heard that from others, and it sure does, you know, lend itself to, you know, a very fruitful, you know, trip and blessing when you do, you know, kind of fall and follow people that are going down the right path. So you were writing at a crazy high level. And at what point did you say, you know what, I need to start sharing this with some agents? Because I want to say for the longest, I don't want to say the longest time, but for a good while, you were very at peace with just personally producing. Was there something in your past? Have you ever managed or you know, been in charge of a group of people before that had kind of made you say, hey, I don't want to do that anymore? Or what was it that kind of made you take that path initially?
Man, that's a great question. So, you know, when it comes to managing people before, anything I did prior to Equus, I just didn't really do that great of a job. And it just is what it is. So two things happened, Ollie. The conference, I don't know, about 2 years ago, two Januaries ago, I think is when it was, and maybe three. No. The August after I came aboard. So that would be the August of what, 2017, I went to the conference. Because of course, if we always got to go to conference, let's just get that plug in there. So I was at the conference and Barry Clarkson talks about his little ledger where he had all his debts on it. And he put this thing up on a screen in front of everybody, so that everybody could see the debt he was in and how he paid it off. And while sitting there watching Barry Clarkson up there, Jesus said to me, in just like a normal voice, he says, my son, there's nothing special about him. And again, when the Lord was telling me this, he's not saying anything bad about Barry. This isn't a dog of Barry Clarkson. What this is Barry, he's saying, my son, there's nothing special about what he did. In other words, Jamie, you can do this. So I left out of there, and I wrote down our debts, and I rounded it up to $67,000. And I went on a crusade that first year to pay off $67,000 worth of debt. And that included the $4,000 back to my mother-in-law. And I remember, I'm an alpha male, and I got a lot of ego and pride issues. And to have to go to my mother-in-law and ask her for money was not easy. But I was able to pay her back. But it wasn't that one that really made me feel like, wow. We had this one credit card, Ollie, it was about $8,200, and I remember writing a check for the whole thing. And I said, Kelly, we never have to deal with this stuff again. That wasn't the word I used, but anyway, we never have to deal with this again. And I mean, that was just such a praise. So that's how I started pushing forward with the personal. Now, let's move on a year or so down the road. I was at a conference, and Barry was talking about how he got up there and what he did to build his agency and how he built it over time. And the Lord said to me, again, same voice. I was sitting in almost the same spot. He says, my son, there's nothing special about him. And so I knew right then that this is something I need to be doing. So that was in August. So the following December, I told Kelly, I said, listen, we've kind of toyed with bringing people on and all. I said, from now on, the decision has been made. We're going to run this like a business, and we're going to bring agents on, and we're going to teach them how to become financially independent. And it wasn't like this. It was a process, Ollie. But in the end, none of that mattered. You know what mattered? I made a decision to do it, and then from that point on, everything changed.
You know, it's funny that you say that there at the end, because that's what I was thinking. You know, God spoke to you in a dream. You took action, came on board. God spoke to you at a conference. You took action, wiped out your debt. God spoke to you at another conference. You took action, went regional manager. Every inspiration that you've had has been followed up by action, and that action has been blessed. But if you were not a willing vehicle, if you were not a willing subject, if you were not somebody who was willing to take that action, but wanted to complain and wanted to have things handed to you, wanted to challenge everything, I don't think you would have accomplished any of the things that you've accomplished here. You know, it's that you were inspired and then you took action. And so tell us about when you started to grow your business. Was it cold market, warm market? How has your team grown? And, you know, don't hesitate to give a shout out to some of the leaders on your team who've, you know, kind of impacted, you know, the Trent team as you guys have gone regional manager.
Yeah. So to start off with, once the decision's made, you know, we got to make a decision. And then after that, I had to begin to associate with people who actually build. So I've noticed over the years that we tend to get, if we go to a barbershop, we're going to get a haircut. So if we hang out with people who are builders, eventually we're going to start building whether we want to or not. And I also learned something along the way that was taught to me is when if the Lord wants us to do something, it doesn't matter how badly we don't want to do it, we're going to do it. And if he doesn't want us to do something, no matter how badly we want to do it, it won't happen. So I'm all right with that, kind of how all that works. But, and by the way, Patrick DiLorenzo is a major part of this organization. I'm regional manager. I don't look at it that way. He and I are partners in this. And praise the Lord for him and his knowledge and his ability to recruit, because he's just a machine when it comes to stuff like that. And I appreciate everything about him. But, you know, we had to follow up. It wasn't as simple as we made a decision and we just woke up the next day. See, I'm not a big cold market anything. I like the warm market stuff. And Barry Clarkson always talks about warm market and sitting across the table. And the man sold his business for $46 million. He's probably got way more than that. So I'm just thinking, again, Ollie, I'm not that smart, and I don't need to be smart. What I need to do is I need to be a good listener. I don't need to really be a good thinker. And Barry Clarkson said this is what he did. So I figured, well, I think I ought to just do what he did. John Kite was talking about, you know, checking interest and meeting people and spheres of influence. And, you know, John Kite's been more successful when it comes to this than I have. So I'm just thinking, why wouldn't I listen to them? Now, the day I make $46 million in $1, then I'm going to tell Barry Clarkson what to do. But until then, I might as well just sit down and shut up and listen, because he's got a lot more wisdom and a lot more of a success story to back what he says up than anything I have. So I'm just a listener now, Ollie.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're listening really good, buddy. And I tell you, so you've seen a thing or two in your day or two in the insurance industry. And since you've been here at Equus, tell I mean, I just feel like Equus is so special, and I feel like Cornerstone Group is so special. I almost feel like somebody needs to go do a year-long internship at another insurance outfit before they join Equus, because, you know, you'll appreciate it so much more, and not take things for granted and think that, you know, all insurance outfits are like this. Talk a little bit about, you know, as we grow our teams and Equus and the platform. I mean, you come at this from a different perspective than most of us, because you've been in the industry for 20 years. I mean, just how special is Equus?
Man, all right. This is a great, great question, because there's going to be people out here who appreciate Equus because they've been at other places, but there's going to be a whole group of people, Ollie, that aren't going to appreciate Equus because they've never been anywhere else. So the difference between Equus and everywhere else is one main word, and this is in my opinion, is transparency. It pretty much is what it is. Like, Barry Clarkson says what he means, and he means what he says. There's not a whole lot of room for maneuvering around in the BS territory. And that's different than anywhere else I was, because everywhere else, people stood up in front of me, and they would blow smoke up my rear end trying to tell me how awesome the deal is and how perfect it is and how much money we can make. But they're never really telling me how it really works. And then when I get in there, I find out this isn't exactly what they said. See, the difference here is Barry Clarkson says the only thing he can guarantee is a swift kick in the gut. That is the opposite of everywhere else that I've been. And it is counterintuitive to trying to hire people, because most people want to make something sound better than it really is. And I can appreciate the honesty. The other part is with the leads. See, a lot of agents, they're mumbling and grumbling because they got to pay $42 or $52 for these leads that Equus pays more than that for, not to mention all the attorneys that are used for it, all the regulation that comes with it, and not even that, but the vetting of the leads to make sure that we have good quality leads and the amount of time and effort and money that goes into our leads program. Most of these agents quibbling and whining and complaining about our leads have no idea the background of it. Now, on that note, on Friday, Andrew and I on the Point Blank podcast, we're going to be interviewing Kristen Brockman from the leads department. So after this Friday, everybody in Equus on Cornerstone is going to have a very in-depth and deep understanding of how the leads work and why they're so important. And why, even though they're kind of expensive, which who cares if you spend $40,000 a year in leads, but your company generates $400,000 worth of revenue, doesn't that sound like a pretty good return on investment? Again, Ollie, I'm gonna go back to, I'm not all that smart. I'm a good listener, but that sounds like a pretty good return investment. 10 times your money. Imagine all them people in the stock market over the last 3 months. They ain't getting that. So, that's kind of how that all works.
Mm-hmm. You know, you had said, you know, Barry said we can't promise anything but a punch to the gut or whatever. I remember when I spoke with him before I came on board Equus, and he told me that. And when he said that, what I thought to myself was, here's somebody that's going to shoot straight with me, but here's also somebody who's in the fight with me. Because I never dreamed for 1 minute that it was going to be all butterflies and rainbows, you know. And somebody that would tell me that, I knew that they were only looking at one side of the coin, because that's not how life really is. And when he said that to me, again, it reminded me, number one, that he was going to shoot straight with me. But maybe more importantly, I had somebody that was in the fight with me. And I think that's all a winner wants. They want to know that when they're going to battle, that people are in there fighting with them, you know, that we're pulling the rope in the same direction. We're not in a tug of war against each other. And so, Jamie, as we wrap up, a couple of things I'd like you to touch on. Number one, because it wasn't that long ago you were a new agent with Equus, you're still out in the field producing at a high level, and you've built an amazing team. I want you to really address two people here real quick. Number one, I want you to address the agent that's new to Equus. Maybe they've never written their first policy yet or application. Maybe, you know, maybe they've only been out in the field for for a month or so and still feel like they're going through that initial learning curve, you know, and some of the ups and downs that we go through as a field underwriter. So what advice, looking back, would you give that person? Maybe one or two key things that you would tell, or three, that you would tell that person that are key that you do to succeed as a field underwriter, and then turn those same questions towards a builder. What would you do as a builder, to two or three key things, looking back, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to those two different people?
Good question. Good question. So, to the new agents, so I don't really care about failure because in my mind, I've said this before, the only time I'm ever going to fail is when I quit. If I don't quit and I haven't failed, I'm learning. And, man, I tell y'all, some of those lessons are hard, but that's okay. So don't quit because, I mean, to this day, I still do apps wrong and have to go back and get signatures. So to forget all the I get things wrong, because agents can overthink this. They don't know products. I don't know products. I still have to call Andrew Pappas. I mean, so that's all just noise, excuses, and to not go out and do it. Don't quit, Ollie. Book 15 to 20 appointments a week and listen to what these guys are saying. And do it. Don't make excuses. I'm so tired of the coronavirus is a reason why you can't go work in a state where we're in my state where we're allowed to still go out and work. I cannot process mentally how someone doesn't still work during this time, especially during this time, Ollie, because of the amount of people we can help. And if they get coronavirus, they pretty much can't get covered for a while or 60 days or whatever after. So I don't get it. So don't quit and stop making excuses. Follow the system. That would be what I'd say. You don't need product knowledge. You need appointment knowledge, because I don't care what you know. If you ain't in front of anybody, you're not going to do nothing. So you got to be in front of people. And so that's it. There's no magic to this. And if I was going to tell anybody, if they want to begin to build an agency, step one would be get a big old bottle of ibuprofen, because you're going to need it, because you're going to have to listen to all the excuses of why people can't actually, I want, and I hear it all the time, man, I want to do this, I want this, but then they don't schedule any appointments, and so you're going to need a lot of ibuprofen to, a lot of prayer and ibuprofen to get through the deep and high level of excuses. And then I would just say, again, don't, John Kite says do something, do it. So follow directions and don't quit, because the only time you fail is when you quit. If you don't quit, you haven't failed.
Ollie, that's it.
There is no more to this industry. Anything else can be done with a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Product knowledge. Like if I'm out there in the field, Ollie, and I'm one of your brand new agents and I don't know how something, I would just call. Ollie, how do I do this?
Yep.
Now I will say this. This is to all agents. When you call your upline, do not call them on speakerphone. No, call them off of speakerphone and give them all the information, including who all is there, because that will help us before we say, all right, now put us on speakerphone, because then we can talk to you. We can gather our thoughts and make sure we got everything straight. But my advice, Ollie, is the same for both. Don't quit and follow directions. Those are the main ones.
Yeah. Now, as I tell you, as a builder, it's a lot of times loving people where they're at, encouraging them, setting a good example. You've done all of those things, Jamie. You know, the first 90 days for a personal producer can be a little bit of a learning curve, and you know, you answered how to handle that so perfectly by just saying, go out and book appointments. Don't worry about product knowledge. Get you 15 to 20 appointments, and you'd be amazed at you know, how many things actually fall into place. You know, years ago, John and I met a very successful business builder. The guy gave some pretty simple advice, and he said, you know, teach things at a fifth grade level seven times. And I was helping my daughter with fifth grade math today. That might be a little, it might be a little high of a level for me, but he said, teach things at a fifth grade level seven times. And I think one of the keys to your success, not only as a field underwriter, but teaching people when they come on board and building, is that you keep it simple, you keep it duplicatable, you say the same thing all the time, and you're very repetitive with your work and your actions. And I think that's why, you know, you've been blessed, you know, with the team you have, and it's a very duplicatable process that everybody on Cornerstone and everybody on the Trent team can definitely duplicate and model, not only in the field, taking care of your S quadrant business, you know, but out there as you build your agency in the B quadrant too. So Jamie, again, thank you. Congratulations so much for you, to you and Kelly, to Patrick and the entire team on going regional manager. So happy for you guys. Happy for another Cornerstone RM breaking out, and the example that you guys set. And thanks for sharing with us today, buddy. You did fantastic.
Yeah, man, y'all have a blessed day, and pray for everybody on this team.
Amen. All right, guys. Hey, Cornerstone, have a great week. And thanks for hanging in there with us today. Can't wait for this to come out. Jamie Trent on recording to get in front of some people to inspire them. So, guys, have a blessed week. We'll talk to y'all soon.